We're going to begin our study this morning in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 20. Exodus, the 20th chapter. According to our reading this morning from Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40, what did Jesus say was the first and great commandment? Oh, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And then what was the second commandment? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now we have previously said the first four commandments, they emphasize our relationship with the Lord. Beginning now with verse 12. Commandments 5 through 10 will all emphasize our relationship with others and how we can love them as we love ourselves. And what is the fifth commandment? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God, having exhorted his readers to honor their heavenly Father in verses 3 through 11, he now exhorts his readers to honor their earthly father and mother. In this single verse, God tells them what to do and why they should do it. And by doing a word study on this word, honor, we're going to also discover how they can do it. How you and I can honor our father and our mother. All right, first of all, what are we to do? What were they to do? Well, we read it right here. Honor thy father and thy mother. Now, this particular commandment can be found twice in the Old Testament. And it can be found six times in the New Testament. I think I gave you some of the references. I don't think I gave them all. In Matthew, there's two. Matthew 15, verse 4. Matthew 19, verse 19. In Mark, there's two. Mark 7, verse 10. And Mark 10, verse 19. Luke, there's a reference. Luke 18, verse 20. And there's also Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. Now, as I mentioned, the other place in the Old Testament that can be found is Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let me just read to you Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16. Here's how it reads. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord God giveth thee. Now this verse, for the most part, is repeated in Ephesians chapter 6, let me read those words to you. Ephesians 6, verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. Now he switches them around. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Notice then your very first purpose. Because I've been commanded to honor my father and mother, and will be blessed if I do so, I purpose to strive to do so. All right, that's what you're to do. Honor your father and your mother. Now, how are they to do it? Now, because Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 doesn't tell us how we're to honor our parents, we're going to do a word study on both the Hebrew word and the New Testament Greek word, translated honor. By noting how this word is used not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament, we should come to a pretty good idea how we are to honor our father and mother. Now we're going to note how we can honor our Heavenly Father and take that and then apply it to how we can honor our earthly father and our earthly mother. Now, the Hebrew word that appears right here in Exodus 20, verse 12, It's translated 34 times honor, but it's also translated 14 times glorify and 14 times honorable. Three areas, three ways you and I can honor our father and mother. What are those three ways? Well, first, we can honor our father and mother with our speech. Psalms 50, verse 23, God says this. Whoso offereth praise, 18 times thanksgiving, glorifies, there's our word, honors me. We can honor our God with our lips, our Heavenly Father with our lips. Psalms 86, verse 12. I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify, I will honor thy name forevermore. So the Old Testament, it teaches us that we can honor our Heavenly Father by speaking well of him. Whether we're speaking to him or whether we're speaking to others, we are to speak well of him. But likewise, the New Testament teaches us the same thing. I'm reading now from Revelation. Just listen to these words. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Listen to how we're going to honor our God when we're in his presence. It says it like this. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. There is going to be honor given to our Lord with our lips in heaven. Revelation 5, verse 12, another reference. Again, those in heaven are honoring the Lord by saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and glory, and blessing. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament teach us you and I can honor our Heavenly Father with our lips. We can honor our Father with our speech. Then we can take that and apply it to one of the ways you and I can honor our earthly father, our earthly mother, is with our speech. I would strongly admonish every parent here not to permit your children to disrespect you with their speech. And as we develop this message, you're going to become more and more aware it's not for your sake so much as it is for their sake that you do not permit them to dishonor you and their mother. At a very early age, parents should teach their children by their exhortations, by their example, to speak honorably to others. Listen from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. I want you to hear how the Father honored the Son with his speech. He says this, for he, Jesus the Son, received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Parents, do you want to teach your children to honor you? Then let them hear you speak well of others. Speak well of them. Let them hear how they please you. You say, well, I would. I would tell them how I please them if they acted like Jesus, but they act more like the devil. And my question to you would be this. Well, how much effort do you put forth in restraining them from doing evil? 1 Samuel 3, verse 13. Yes, we must restrain our children from speaking evil, from doing evil. But again, not so much for your sake as it is for their sake. And the blessing that they will receive if they speak well of you. You need to learn to set up situations where your children can experience success so that you can praise them with your speech. The father taught the son to honor him by him honoring the son, in whom I'm well pleased. When was the last time your child heard those words? I am so pleased with you. I am so pleased with you. Now, don't lie to them. But you need to make a greater effort of finding godly characteristics of what you can say to them. You please me when you behave in such a manner. Look at your purposes that come next. Purpose. I purpose to teach my children to honor their parents. You know how? By the way, I honor them and others with my speech. Is that what they hear from you? Your speech is honorable about others? Another purpose. As a parent, I purpose to put more effort into speaking well of my children. And then, thirdly, I purpose to strive to be more faithful in honoring my parents with my speech. Let me show you just one passage out of Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to turn there, or you can just listen as I read these verses. We did this in our Sunday school hour, the first hour, talking about putting off the old man, talking about putting on the new man. I would strongly encourage you to put these verses someplace in your home where they can be seen, where they can be memorized. But teach your family these words. What are these words? Verse 29 says, let no corrupt, don't let any hurtful communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it can minister grace to the hearers. Instead of putting down, build up, edify. Find ways to build up. You want your children to honor you with their lips. You've got to learn how to honor them with your lips. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God, verse 30, whereby they've sealed it till the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And what? Oh, yes, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I submit to you that if you will practice verses 29, 30, 31, and 32 in your home, you will see and observe your children honoring you more and more with their speech. But let me just say this. It's not enough for you and I to honor our parents with our speech. There is something else that we can do in honoring our parents. We can honor them with our substance. Honoring them with our substance. Listen now to how we can honor Heavenly Father. Proverbs 3:9 says it like this. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. So just as we can honor our Heavenly Father with our substance, likewise we can honor our earthly father and mother with our substance. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. In Isaiah chapter 29, verse 15, the prophet, he's dealing with the blindness and the hypocrisy of Israel. And he says these words. He says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but they have removed their heart far from me. Woe unto them. Now, Jesus is going to quote that here in this passage. What's the point I'm trying to make? Listen, it's possible that you and I can honor our parents with our words while our walk says something quite different. Jesus, in this passage, is dealing with the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the scribes. They're insisting that his disciples have sinned because they don't practice ceremonially washing their hands before eating. Look what he says. Verse 1, chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes, which came from Jerusalem. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, unwashing hands, they found fault. For the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not, holding the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold, as the washing of cups, pots, brazen vessels, and of tables. Then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? Now, this is not the aspect, okay, telling your kids to wash their hands before they eat. Of course, right now, with this virus out there, we get more and more emphasis about what? Primary thing is to wash your hands, right? Because you put your hands to your face. Wash, wash, wash. Can't wash them too often. Wash your hands. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a ceremonial washing, which is supposedly necessary to have blessed from God. This was the traditions of men. Wash your pots and pans, not for cleanliness, but ceremonially. But I want you to focus on how Jesus now quotes from Isaiah. Watch what he says. And he answered and said unto them, well, saith Isaiah, he prophesied to you hypocrites, as it is written, the people honoreth me with their lips, oh, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. So he's saying, oh yeah, you big Pharisees, you're all involved in all these washings, these ceremonial washings, these ceremonials of men. But you don't even keep the commandments. God's commandments. Now watch what commandment he brings forth. You ready? For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curses father and mother, let him die the death. Oh, but ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free, and ye shall suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such things do ye. What's going on here? Well, here's what's going on. Jesus, to demonstrate their hypocrisy, showed how they didn't even honor their parents. Jesus now exposes one of the man-made traditions which allowed a child to hold back helping a parent who was in financial need. And the reason why he couldn't help his parent was because his savings was committed to the Lord, a korban. He had dedicated a gift towards God. The Pharisees, the scribes, permitted them to use that gift for themselves while they lived. When they passed away, that commitment was then given to the church. It was then given to the Pharisees. It was a gift to them. So they would say, oh, you don't have to help your parents. Yeah, I know they're in a financial crunch. I know they have some tough times. But you don't have to help them. You don't have to honor them because you have dedicated that to the Lord. Oh, you can use it now while you're living, but it's dedicated to the Lord. And he calls them hypocrites. You know, here you are, all caught up in these ceremonial washings, but you don't even honor your parents. You don't even keep the commandment of God. So children, to honor your parents from your heart, you must not only say nice things, but you need to do nice things with your substance. Let me show you a couple of illustrations in Timothy concerning this whole matter about how you can honor others in need with your substance. First of all, we're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 5, if you're there, or you can listen. 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's talking about honoring widows with your substance. Here's what he says, verse 3. Hey, honor widows that are widows indeed. But if a widow hath children or nephews, grandchildren, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite, repay their parents. For that's good and acceptable before God. Honor widows that are widows indeed. They had no family to help them. They didn't have children. They didn't have grandchildren that could come and help them. Honor them. But he says, look, let them learn. Let your family learn to show piety, to show reverence at home. Let them requite, pay back their parents. He says, for that's good and acceptable before God. But how do children learn to show reverence? How do they learn to pay back their parents for all the blessings that's been bestowed upon them as they were growing up? Well, parents, again, by their exhortations, by their examples, must teach them. To pay back something necessitates one has first received something, right? As parents, we need to teach our children to reverence us, to pay back, to give back by first reverencing them, by first giving to them and to others. They need to see us giving to them. They need to see us giving to others. One of the reasons we taught our children that there was no such thing as Santa, but because we wanted them to understand that their gifts came from their parents, they came from their grandparents. Now, I've told you and I shared with you the first time little Tina, she was little at that time, when Grandma says, yeah, what did Santa bring to you? Oh, Grandma, there's no such thing as Santa. We know all our gifts come from you and Grandpa and from Mom and Dad. My mother, she jumped at least this far off the floor. And she took me in the other room, and boy, did I have the riot act given to me. And she could hardly catch her breath. She was talking so much, hollering so much, until I said to her, Mom, we're trying to teach our children that these gifts are not from some unseen object. They come from you and Dad. They've come from us. I want to teach them that we show them reverence, we show them respect, we show them honor by working and giving to them. She calmed down. Took a little while, but she did calm down. You need to train your children. You need to teach them. And there's nothing wrong with teaching them about the time and effort it takes to purchase for them a bicycle. We scratch our heads and we say, I can't understand why my children, they don't take care of their toys. They don't take care of their toys. Why is that? They don't honor them. They don't honor you and the gift that you gave to them. They don't understand the labor, the time and effort it took to get that gift to them. That's your responsibility to teach them, parents. It doesn't come by osmosis. Oh, they wake up one day saying, oh, all these wonderful things we have, they come because Dad had to work 2 days to be able to purchase this. This was 3 days' work for this. You know, it's so funny. Every year, Christmas, my mother went wild. It would take my dad a whole year to pay off that bill. I tell you, children, we just don't respect and honor the labor, the effort that it takes when our parents provided so many good things for us. Honor widows with your substance. That's what he's saying here, okay? That's the word, honor. But what I want you to see this, there's also an illustration here, honor your pastors with their substance. Look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 17. He says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of a double honor. There's our word. Especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Show your children how and where to give to the Lord. Man, take them by the hand. When you come in, you say, hey, you see this box? This is how I get to the Lord. This is how we minister to the pastor. He works hard preparing the messages. This is how we minister unto him. You show them. You show them you giving. I say, I want my children to honor me. Well, you honor them. You honor others. Whether it's widows, whether it's the pastor, you teach them to honor others. And I'll guarantee you, when they grow older, they'll honor you. Honor others with your substance. And by the way, the word honor is in both the Old Testament and New Testament. At times, it refers to doing so by sharing your substance with another. Look at your purposes, two of them. You know what? I purpose to teach my children honor their parents by sharing their substance with us, by honoring them and sharing our substance with them. And how about this as a purpose? I purpose to be more faithful in honoring my parents by sharing my substance with them. Well, there's a third way that we can honor our Heavenly Father, and also we can honor our earthly father and mother, and that's with our submission. That is with our service unto them. So, point C, we're to honor our father and mother with our submission. In Haggai chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, God says they can glorify, they can honor him by submitting to him and rebuild the temple. Listen to these words. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Now, the reason why he's saying, I want you to consider your ways, it seems that they were more interested in building their own homes than they were interested in rebuilding the temple. So he says, consider your ways. Then he says this, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, the temple, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, I will be honored, saith the Lord. Now, yes, the rebuilding of the temple itself would bring honor to the Lord, but so would their submission to him in rebuilding it. Now, I want to tell you something. A child can honor their parents in helping around the house. You may not, at this time in your life, have the finances to honor your parents. You don't have the substance in your pocket, open up the billfold. You don't have that yet at your age. But you can honor them with your submission, with your service to them. Especially at home, in the home, helping. Now, just recently we were doing a painting job through the house. And it necessitated for me to call on my son, daughter-in-law. They came and they helped us move all the furniture out. Then they came and they helped us move all the furniture back in. I had a little electrical problem, so my son-in-law, Chris, came and Tina and Michaela, they volunteered to come and help Grandma get things settled. Look at one of the ways a child can honor their parents is in and around the house. Being willing to serve, being willing to submit. In Malachi chapter 1, God's complaining that Israel has not honored him in that they refuse to submit and obey his word. Listen to this. Malachi 1:6. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, God says, where is my honor? They didn't honor him because they're unsubmissive, as evidenced by the sacrifices that made to him. In chapter 1, what kind of sacrifices did they make to him? Oh, they gave him the lame. They gave him the blind. They gave to him those who were standing on one hoof. I mean, they were ready for death. There's your sacrifice, God. Father, here's your sacrifice we're bringing to you. Here's the sacrifice I'm willing to make. God told him those offerings were odious to him. There's another reason, though, that he speaks against them. God had commanded them, and they had violated the covenant that they had made with God with their wives. They were divorcing them left and right, dishonoring God, dishonoring his word, and God speaks of that very thing. You see, you and I can honor our Heavenly Father by keeping his commandments. But we can also honor others by keeping their commandments. Now, hopefully, your sacrifices that you make for your parents, they're not the lame, they're not the sick, but they're the best that you have to offer. You can't offer something you don't have, but you ought to offer the best, the best. What kind of servant are you to your Heavenly Father, to your earthly parents? Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2. Watch the word honor. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. How can a servant honor his master? Submission. Faithful submission and service to him. So just as a servant can honor their master by submitting and faithfully serving, so you and I can honor our parents by faithfully submitting and serving them. I'm going to read a passage to you out of 1 Peter chapter 2. Listen to these words. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. It's all about submission. Ready? Submitting to those in authority over us. He says in verse 13, hey, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Do it for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or to governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How do you do that? By submitting to those who are in authority over you. As free? Oh, I'm free. Not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. But as the servants of God, honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. How can you do that? By submission. You may not have a lot of silver, but you can submit. You can submit to your parents and honor them. Romans 12, verse 10 says this, oh, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. Do you show your parents honor in preferring their needs over your own needs, in preferring their desires over your own desires? Honor others by submitting our will to their will. Jesus, he answered those who were accusing him of having a devil. He says this to them, John 8, verse 49 and 50. Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I speak not my own glory. Jesus honored his Father by submitting his will to his Father's will. Now listen to me, parents. You're to teach your children by your exhortations, by your examples, how to honor others by you submitting yourselves to others, by you submitting at times yourselves even to your children. We had a practice in our home. We had a jar, and then the jar had our names. And once a week, we'd reach in, we'd have to pick out a name, couldn't be the one we had the week before. And we'd look at that name. That name was the person that we were to serve. So there's times Teresa had to serve me. But there's also times she had to serve Tina or serve Trent, and likewise myself. We taught our children how to submit. We taught our children how to serve by submitting and serving to them at times, making their bed. Now you can train, and you should train your children how to honor others by placing others before you, showing preference to them. But listen to me, there's another way you can teach how to honor. And I'm going to show this to you out of reading out of Hebrews chapter 2. This is now the Father showing honor to Adam, to men. Watch how he does it. Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading now a verse 6. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor. How did he do that? Thou didst set him over the works of thy hand. He placed Adam in the garden, and he placed everything in submission to Adam. You can teach your children how to honor, yes, by them honoring you and serving you, but also by you honoring and serving them. In you giving them authority over things and possessions or people. Now, does it always work? No. But that's the way you train. You train by letting a child have authority over someone else or over other things. Hopefully they can learn as they watch others submit to them how they are to submit to others. See, there's a couple ways you and I can learn to submit. Okay, I can have you submit to me. Come on, submit to me. I can teach you that way, but I can also teach you by submitting to you, by submitting to you. Your children are not going to wake up at the age of 15 and say, today's the day I'm going to start honoring my mom and dad. This is the day. I feel it. No, you got to train them. You use the Word of God. You use the Word of God to train them. You train them through exhortations. You train them through examples. Well, that's what our two purposes. By my exhortations, examples, I'm going to purpose to teach my children how to honor others by submitting and serving them and others. And I purpose to strive to honor my father and my mother with my submissive service to them. All right, so what have we looked at? We looked at three ways you and I can honor our Heavenly Father, our earthly father and mother. With our submission service, with our substance, and with our speech. Now, we talked about three points here. What? What they are to do? Honor. How are they to do it? Speech, substance, submission. Why are they to do it? Let's finish this up quickly. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 gives us one reason why we should obey this commandment. You ready? that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. We had a calendar in our, especially when we came in the area. When we came in the area, our kids are 7 and 9, and they were having a little struggle, bickering with one another, arguing with their mother. So I got a calendar and I got a red pen. And if they're disobedient, rebellious, dishonoring to their mother, I just, without saying, go over and take a red pen and I take an X across one of the days. Well, after a while, they watched me doing this, and finally, one of them got inquisitive enough to say, what are you doing, Dad? Well, I said, and I read the verse to him. When you dishonor your mother, God says, what's the adverse, if you do, you're going to have long days. Well, if you don't, what do you think that means? You're not going to have long days. And I'm happy to say that I didn't have to do that very long with that calendar. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 6 gives us another reason. All right, first it says, yeah, that thy days may be prolonged. Then they add this, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, in the New Testament, in Ephesians 6, 3, when Paul's writing to the church, he just reverses this and he says this. One, that it may be well with thee. Then the second one, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Here's the point I'm making. This blessing was given not only to the tribe of Israel, but it was given to the church. Some years ago, I was ministering here in the church to a 52-year-old man, a man who I have observed on several occasions dishonor his 82-year-old mother. He dishonored her with his speech. He dishonored her with his actions. And at least 3-4 times, I sat him down. I shared with him the passages that we're looking at today. And I showed him the consequences of his sinful behavior. And I asked him, what do these verses indicate is going to happen to you if you don't stop dishonoring your mother? Well, he says it seems that it's a contrast between a long life versus a short life, between being blessed and being cursed. So I knew he understood what I was saying. Well, that man died that year. He never saw 53. His mother outlived him. And I am 100% convinced that one of the reasons why he did not live a long life was because he did not honor his mother. Now, there may have been other circumstances behind it, but I'm convinced that that was at least one of the reasons why he did not see 53. There's one thing that you and I know about God and his promises. What is that? He keeps them. Titus 1, verse 2. God cannot lie. This is the first commandment with a promise. Keep it and be blessed. Don't keep it and be cursed. Because of the promise to bless me if I keep this fifth commandment, I purpose to strive to honor my father and my mother. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you for the clarity of your word. Lord, we thank you for what you have taught us this morning. Now may you just give us the grace and mercy to do what you have commanded us to do. Lord, we are so thankful and appreciative of the parents that you have given to us. Lord, we seek your forgiveness, knowing that we were not always honoring them with our speech, with our substance, with our submission. Lord, for this we seek thy forgiveness. And purpose, Lord, that if they're still alive and present, we'll seek their forgiveness. And Lord, that we'll strive to be better children. And Lord, as parents, because of this promise, because of this promise of this blessing, we purpose as parents to do what we can do in teaching our children, teaching our grandchildren, teaching our great-grandchildren how to honor, how to respect others. Oh, Lord, thank you for the calling that you've given upon each of us. Help us now to obey that calling. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.